You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined this afternoon by my producer extraordinaire, Anya Esther. You're going to give us a call today because we have got a discussion that you're going to want to get in on. It's the best kind of argument to have, or discussion to have, if you will. And that is an argument that has really good points on both sides. It has different values that exist on both sides, and there's no real clear answer. In other words, it's a discussion where there's a lot of, at least the two sides of the coin have a justifiable basis, and that good, smart people can disagree. And I'm going to be joined by each of you good, smart people and by Anya in having this discussion today. What is it you may be wondering? Get on the horn now, 844-967-2789. I want to know what you think. Do you think Donald Trump should be removed from the ballot for engaging in insurrection in violation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment? Legal scholars are divided, courts are divided, secretaries of states are divided, and of course, the political parties are divided. Let's, before we get into the mix, and again, 844-967-2789, you're going to want to get in on this discussion. Let's just table set a little bit, right? So what are the basic facts as we understand them, and where do things stand today? You may recall that right before we went off for holiday break at the end of December, the Colorado Supreme Court dropped a bombshell 6-3 ruling, concluding under Colorado state process that indeed Donald Trump was disqualified from being on the Colorado state ballot under the 14th Amendment. So that's Colorado. Donald Trump and the Colorado Republican Party requested that the Supreme Court immediately take the case up. The Supreme Court has agreed to do so. There are going to be arguments happening, I believe, on February 8th. Elsewhere in the country, the Secretary of State of Maine concluded on December 28th that Mr. Trump should not appear on Maine's ballot. However, this is not a universal approach. In California, in Oregon, in Michigan, these states have rejected challenges, as well as Minnesota. There are approximately 30-ish challenges of varying types going on across the country. And that's where we find ourselves today. At the heart of the matter is this provision of the 14th Amendment adopted in the wake of the Civil War, because you had folks that engaged in insurrection in the Civil War and tried to break our country up. And many of them would have likely won election if they were put up and otherwise permitted to run for election in the South. So the 14th of the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was adopted and ratified. And it states that no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president or vice president or hold any office under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States, or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution, shall have engaged in an insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. Lots of legal easy stuff there, right, Anya? Ugh. So let's boil it down and then we'll get right into it. 844-967-2789. If you want to hop in on this one with Anya and I this afternoon, that is the number to call or text. Here's the part of it that would apply to a former president who's now trying to run again. And it is, no person who has been an officer of the United States shall have engaged in an insurrection. That's the operative part of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. So the questions are, is the president an officer of the United States? Did the president, in fact, quote, engage an insurrection? What do all those words mean? Now, lurking beneath this is a question, and the legal term of art is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, quote, self-executing? This means, does a private citizen have the right to bring a cause of action to bar someone from the ballot? And if the provision is not self-executing, something else has to happen for the provision to take effect. So those are some of the technical things I'm sure we're going to jump in here on. But listen, you don't have to be a legal expert. You can just have an opinion. We want to hear it, because I think how this sits with all of us as Americans, as citizens, as voters, really matters. Our common sense understandings of these things matter deeply. So I asked Anya to join me in this discussion because you all hear from me plenty today. And so what was your sort of gut instinct, Anya, when I first queued this up and said, hey, let's have a chat about this on Tuesday?
Well, I especially like the part where you were clear that this wouldn't be a debate, because for a moment I was like, do I have to convince Maggie? No. Yeah, I hate that this question of if it's self-action or whatever, you know, it's so hard to look at these laws that seem to be so plainly written. Hey, if you do this thing, you don't get to have this particular job. If you engage in something that's like, hey, we want to change the government so drastically that it would essentially be overthrowing what we have right now. And then we have on paper a statement that says, if you do that, you don't get to run for president again. Then I just cannot understand why someone who was involved in it gets to run for president again. It's just so, of all the legal things to say are cut and dry, it seems like this is the one. And it's quite annoying. It's quite annoying that it's not that easy, to me at least. My thought is that all this should be super easy, right, Maggie? That's what law is about, isn't it? The easiest, fastest way to do everything. That's what I was told, right?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up that point, Anya, and I think it's so important, because laws, when they are written well, should be clear so that people understand what the rules are, right? That understanding what the rules are get into the question of due process. And there are some serious and, yes, kind of technical due process questions about Donald Trump's rights, which also implicate rights of Americans who support Mr. Trump, right? Like that's part of what's going on here. And so I think many courts and many legal experts are struggling to understand, hey, was this clear enough? Do we actually have an articulated understanding of not just what these three words mean, an officer of the United States, what is an insurrection, and what does it mean to engage in insurrection, but what the process should be? And that is all part of the rules. And if somebody's going to not be able to get on a ballot, I think part of the difficulty here is that many will argue that the rules simply aren't clear enough. Now, interestingly, we'll delve into a little legal detail here. There are two cases that have addressed this provision of the Constitution, as well as Article 14 most generally. And one of the cases goes back to the time right after the Civil War. It's from 18. Let me see if I want to get it exactly right in case anybody's at home taking notes or keeping score. That case was Henry Griffin in 1869. And Chief Justice Salmon Chase wrote that the Constitution's guarantee of due process of law, a guarantee, it's important to note, is also sort of additionally defined and enshrined by the 14th Amendment itself, is inconsistent with a system that, at once without trial, deprives a whole class of persons of offices held by them for cause, however grave. Now, let me just translate that so everybody can know what that meant. Basically says, yes, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does disqualify people from holding federal office, but there must be more. In other words, there has to be robust due process, because those are also constitutionally protected rights. So, Anya, what's your feeling about, are you familiar with sort of the facts surrounding how Colorado specifically got to its decision does it make any difference to you that, for example, in Colorado, there was some court process? Now, there wasn't a jury trial, but they did look at facts. They made a factual record. Whereas, and again, went up through the court system. Whereas in Maine, an individual, the Secretary of State there made the decision.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does make a difference to me. To answer your question, am I familiar with the facts? Yeah, a little bit. I'm acquainted with some of the facts. We've seen each other at parties, I guess.
Yes, right.
But I guess certainly what you're describing about the Colorado case, I would have to lean towards preferring it. All these things with any individual, I think we've seen with the case involving the judge in Texas saying, "Hey, I'm one person, and I've decided mifepristone isn't allowed with my no medical degree." But again, to say all of these things require due process, okay, then they have to be allowed to do the process. I think that's what's hanging up so many of these places, is whether it's an individual or a court case like Colorado, states have to be allowed to start pushing forward the idea that, hey, there might be something about this we have to discuss. This is different from so many other political issues we've had before, and certain individuals don't want the processes of law to roll forward as they do, as they've proven. So that's, I guess, my thought.
Well, I think, again, you're getting right at the heart of the matter, which is, if we believe in due process and that the rule of law is very important to follow, it becomes incumbent upon us to follow it, even when it leads us to an outcome that is problematic or that we might prefer otherwise regarding. We're going to continue this discussion when we come back. I'm going to give you some important programming notes coming up about what you can expect from the Maggie Dawn Show here in 2024. You're going to want to keep listening, everybody, and you're definitely going to want to give us a call, because I want to know what you think. Should Donald Trump be removed from the presidential ballot in 2024? We shall discuss here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here's the number, everybody, 844-967-2789. Back with more in just a moment.
Shaw, WAUK.
You can have all the money in your hands, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worthless treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have everything.
That song you're listening to is Stand Up for Something by Andra Day and Common, one of my favorite artists and artist combos. Great and so appropriate for the question of the day, everybody. Join us here on the Maggie Dawn Show, 844-967-2789. Should Donald Trump be removed from the presidential ballot? And I think there are some legitimate problems with the states that have found their way to removal, not just legal ones or legal technicalities, but I think from a historical precedent standpoint, and I think from what the impacts of such a removal might very well be. If you want to join our conversation, all comers, all opinions, welcome. You'll get a fair hearing here, 844-967-2789. So what's really interesting, just a couple more details, and we're going to go to the phones. There is at least one Supreme Court decision that held very clearly that the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is not self-executing, meaning there is no private right of action. And that's Owen B. versus Morgan. That's from 1921. And in there, the Supreme Court said this, quote, "It cannot rightly be said that the 14th Amendment furnishes a universal and self-executing remedy," end quote. Now, the way that many folks get around that is because Congress adopted Section 1983. What Section 1983 does is it allows private people, individuals, to sue state officials who deprive folks of, quote, any rights, privileges, or immunities secured by the Constitution and laws. It's basically the equal protection of the laws argument. But here's the thing. The plaintiffs in the Colorado case to remove Trump, they don't have any differentiable, distinct personal interests that are unique as compared to anyone else in this country when it comes to this question. So because of that fact, Section 1983 does not permit them to sue. So you may be asking, Maggie, if that's true, how the heck did Colorado get to the place where they removed Trump from the ballot? And they relied on a provision of Colorado law that allows people to bring a case to disqualify someone. And the problematic part is that in Colorado's history, it's obviously never been used in this way. And typically, lawsuits filed by individuals under Colorado state law that deal with ballot qualifications deal with residency. Have you reached the requisite age? Are you a citizen? Do you live in the district that you're running for your aldermanic seat in? Those are sort of very simple, limited questions that don't involve the existential concept of what is an insurrection? What does it mean to engage in those? So under this particular Colorado statute, there's no jury trial. There's not an opportunity to depose witnesses, to put on a lengthy examination and testing of witnesses and facts in something that would resemble trials that we know. It's a truncated process. So, Anya, this discussion that we've been having about what is the process, and okay, we can say Maine is probably not the right way to go, where it's the Secretary of State on her own deciding. And yes, she did hold some hearings. She issued a written decision, which largely mirrors what the Colorado Supreme Court did. And at least in Colorado, there was some judicial process. But it wasn't what we're used to in terms of development of facts and bringing forth contested arguments. Does that change your view at all? Do you think there needs to be more?
Oh, I always think there needs to be more. I think saying, you know, this isn't the way it's normally used. This isn't the way we normally gather facts. I mean, what has been normal since maybe like late 2016? Unfortunately, I think that's the hard thing is the very nature of this trial, the very nature of who you're trying to prosecute is changing and actively shifting the rules as they're playing the game with the intention to keep playing the game longer, get in charge of it, to change more rules. It's a very confounding thing where, you know, for me, my view right now is just clearly we have to get this done. So there has to be some statement of fact as to whether or not what he did was insurrection. And if it was, then the rest of these dominoes seem to fall into place. And if we don't have enough dominoes between them, then yeah, I think we definitely need more. I think there's a lot more conversations to be had about everything.
And the interesting implication, then we're going to go to the phones. If anybody is on the phones, please stay there. I will be getting to you at the very latest after our next batch of messages. I just want to flesh a couple of these things out so we can all dig in together. Here is the thing. If an individual state can create a law creating a private right of action, that means that you could have completely inconsistent ballots throughout the 50 states. That worries me. Because I think in these moments, it's so critically important that people have faith in our processes, have faith in our elections. And listen, getting booted off a ballot isn't in and of itself problematic. That happens all the time. I work in government. People don't submit the requisite number of signatures to get on the ballot. They don't actually live in the district. So it's not being on the ballot. It's were the rules clear? Did everybody understand them? Was there due process? Especially when you're considering someone who is clearly post-Iowa caucus, the presumptive nominee from the GOP to be their next presidential nominee. Now, here's the rub, of course. If the 14th Amendment, if this section of the 14th Amendment is to have any meaning, isn't this it? Right? I think that's kind of what I'm hearing from you, Anya, because it doesn't matter if it's an unpopular insurrectionist that could never win an election, right? Like that, who cares about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment? Because they'll lose. It matters. The words must have meaning only when it might matter, right? When it's a popular insurrectionist who may very well win the election, that's when Section 3 of the 14th Amendment matters. And if the words are to have any meaning, what are we looking at then? Which is why I'll let us all recollect back to the day that the Colorado decision dropped. I said on my show that I thought, clearly this is going to go to the Supreme Court. There's no way they can avoid hearing it. And that my wish, my hope is for a 9-0 decision, that it be unanimous, whatever it is, at least in some portion of the decision, right? They oftentimes weigh in on, here are the facts and I disagree with the facts, or I disagree with this interpretation of the law, or I disagree with the process. But there at least be some portion where all 9 justices agree. I think that's critical. And the other piece that concerns me is, again, the speed. Let's get this decision done so that people know what to expect. We're at a crossroads here, folks. We're going to be going to the phones. You too can have an opportunity to weigh in when we come back. I'll be hearing from you. Anya and I will be continuing to engage, to peel this onion back. 844-967-2789 here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Vote by Delight. Loving it, Anya. Thanks for the great tune. So appropriate to today's questions. Callers are stacking up. If you want to get in on, do you think Donald Trump should be removed from the ballot? Call us or text us, 844-967-2789. We got a couple of texts in, one from a friend in Dane County that wants to talk about rent inflation and what's going up, what is going on in the rental markets. You can give me direct input because starting today, that survey I started promising back on January 3rd, it is going to be live in the show notes. We're going to keep that survey going for a while. So if you want some input, some control over what I'm talking about and breaking down on this show, coming into your living rooms and cars every day from 6 to 7 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network, go to the Civic Media website, that's civicmedia.us. Go check out the shows in the show notes for today and every day henceforth until we close the survey. You will have an opportunity to give me direct feedback. You want to tell me I stink at this, that I should go shuffle off to Buffalo? You can write it there. If you want to include an email or a number, I may just get back to you as well. So we're going to try to keep a track of all this great feedback and get to it. One quick question from Jim in Appleton. He believes that the 14th Amendment is self-executing. It is not. That is basically settled Supreme Court precedent. So there has to be something that triggers it. That's why we get into the discussion about actual conviction for something related to insurrection. So those are the questions. We got lots and lots of folk stacked up here. We're going to start with CJ, my friend. How are you? Hope you're staying warm. What say you?
Yeah, I hope you're staying warm too. Thanks for taking my call. I guess, you know, when I hear the yes, he should stay on the ballot. DeFranch, you know, I hear the claim from the Democrat Party about that Trump is going to attack his political opponents. Well, whose Department of Justice, who's the lead person on the Department of Justice?
Well, that was true under Trump too, right? Right, and Trump.
Exactly. That's what I always used to hear. You know, Trump's Department of Justice. I always used to hear that. I never hear where it's Biden's Department of Justice. And
well, it's a technical point, right? They're both parts of the executive branch. So I take your point. I think we've got one candidate that's saying I'm going to use it to punish my political enemies. Trump has said that out loud, right?
Well, what do you think? Okay, the Biden Department of Justice, They aren't saying it out loud. They're actually doing it. They did it in 2016 when they lied about the Clinton campaign paid for it. They lied about it in 2020 when the Department
lied about what exactly?
51 officials lied about it. So this is the Biden Department of Justice. January 6th.
That's the case. That's the case with every single sitting president. I'm just trying to take things at face value. And by the way, CJ, my view, I didn't mean to bury the headline here, is for a number of reasons which probably differ from your reasons. I think Trump needs to stay on the ballot. But I appreciate your call, CJ. Always appreciate it when you give us a chance to bat the issues around a little bit back and forth. Greg from Waukesha, you're on the air.
Hello. You know, I don't really care if she's on the ballot or not, as long as it's decided in accordance with normal judicial processes. And what I see happening here, like in Colorado, and I've read the entire decision and all the dissents in the Colorado decision, and I'm a retired lawyer, I understand this stuff. And it's really, I mean, the best I can describe it is the decision that took Trump off the ballot in Colorado is an abomination. I practiced law 50 years. I've never seen anything like this. And the worst problem is, for the overall scheme of things, is that it lends credence to the Republicans and Trump's in particular, claim that this is all political. It's all election interference. And if you read that decision from the Colorado Supreme Court, you will agree with that. It's horrific what these people have done. Now, the thing is, the federal courts have not provided significant or efficient or enough guidance on what this is to how this should end up. I appreciate what you have done in trying to clarify this, but it's a real problem, and the federal courts have to weigh in on this. And I believe that what will end up happening here is that the U.S. Supreme Court will jump in and say, no, this is not up to the Colorado Supreme Court or the Maine Secretary of State or whatever the hell she was. It's not up to them. It's up to the question of whether or not they have actually, like a guy like Trump, has actually engaged in insurrection. And the only test on that is whether he has been charged, convicted of insurrection. And that's the way this is going to go down.
Thanks so much for the call, Greg. I agree actually with, I probably wouldn't use the word abomination. I think it was important that a court address on the merits the question of whether there was an insurrection and whether he engaged in it. I think it's clear that he did. That's my view. But that section of the 14th Amendment is not self-executing. We have a constitutional guarantee to due process. It is nowhere more important than in our electoral process. For many of the reasons that Greg mentioned there, I think this is essential that we get this right. And I'll just tell you a little bit more about my opinion for a second. We'll go back to the phones. I do not want Donald Trump to become a martyr, that he never goes away in our national political consciousness. And if he is removed from the ballot in enough states to actually jeopardize his chance to become president, and we don't beat him in a straight up election, that will give incredible credence to the arguments that Greg from Waukesha just mentioned. It may very well erupt in even more violence. That does not serve our democracy well in the long term. Those are my decision rules. Does this follow the rule of law? Does it follow our historical practices? And I really don't see that in the Colorado Supreme Court's decision. Jack from Merrimack, you're on the air.
Thank you. First of all, let me say I agree 100% that the ideal situation would be to have Trump lose at the ballot box by an astoundingly huge margin, just drop him back into the garbage can of history. unfortunately, the math doesn't look like that's a very likely situation. Now, I think we both agree also that there was an insurrection, and that Donald Trump definitely was an instigator of that. Even Mitch McConnell, though he hypocritically voted against conviction during the impeachment trial of Trump, in February of 2021, stated very clearly, and this is almost a direct quote, "There's no question, none, that President Trump was both practically and morally responsible. For the January 6th. And I think that if you go back to when the 14th Amendment was enacted, there were a lot of Civil War people from the Confederacy who were not allowed to go into office because of that amendment. That didn't require that they be convicted in a court of law. All there had to be was evidence that they had engaged in that insurrection. I don't know if American democracy can take the chance of keeping Trump on the ballot. That's my biggest concern right now. Yes, I really would like to see him go down at the ballot box, but it's a very scary proposition if he doesn't. That's something else I think we seriously have to consider in this discussion.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jack. I think you just outlined the pros and cons. I'm concerned about violence. I'm concerned about adding fuel to these aren't legitimate elections, that it is politically motivated. I'm concerned about Mr. Trump's due process rights. I'd be a hypocrite and a terrible lawyer if I wasn't. I am. If he gets into office, we'll be looking at something not even trying to fig leaf weaponization of the Justice Department. It won't be a rhetorical punchline anymore. It will be reality. He has told us so, and I believe him. Joanne, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
I'm not an attorney, so you'll have to take this litany with that in mind. What we are facing is an insurrection, and what's happened is that the character of that insurrection has changed. We used to, just a little while ago, we used to worry about mobs outside of the courtrooms, banging on the doors, saying, don't mess with our leader Trump and all of that. That hasn't happened, but there's so many other things that have happened. Judges shouldn't have to cower. Public servants shouldn't have to worry about swatting incidents and all of that. So we are under an insurrection. And I think that Biden has lost some opportunities by shifting the discussion to democracy. We're under attack right now. Our basic freedoms are under attack. The freedom to be a public servant has been under attack. And just in relation to your exact question, then, even though your martyr argument is wonderful and all of that, back not too long ago, the last in the 1800s, people were worried that Jefferson Davis was going to run again, and some of these leaders were going to run again after losing as Confederates. They were going to try to become presidents again, and that's what all of this was about. And the 14th Amendment seems like a pretty good way of handling the whole situation, but you know more than I do on the legal front. I'm just afraid about an insurrection that is occurring right now in the United States. It's just shielded a little too well by some people who really know their stuff. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Joanne. I agree with you. I'm deeply concerned about the slow-moving insurrection as well. I think, you know, January 6th was a point in time and that came to a conclusion. But when the war against public servants doing their job, the war against a clerk doing her job in these various cases that are proceeding against Donald Trump, that is something that should concern all of us. We never know when we may be the one that is standing on the block in the defendant's chair. It's a moment. And let's be clear, the idea, while he has been indicted, Mr. Trump has not been convicted. And that's critical. If there were two triggers to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment in my mind that would be absolutely unassailably clear. One is a criminal conviction in the January 6th case. Yep, that would clarify it, wouldn't it? That's why he is alleging presidential immunity, that is basically saying a president is a king here and not subject to our laws. The second one would have been that he was convicted of after impeachment, which did not occur, which makes the cowardliness of Mitch McConnell, former Speaker McCarthy, and his ilk so troubling. Ross, you are on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
Hi, Maggie. So here's the big subject. This hasn't happened before, right? It seems like we're treading on new ground. Trump has really been forcing us as Americans to reflect on what the heck does it mean, what is an American democracy? It seems, though, that we are living in two separate worlds. So we can come up with all the arguments in the world, and the people on the Trump side are going to sort of see the same thing, but just flip it kind of like in an Orwellian sort of model where they just sort of say, yeah, but Biden is worse. In the Supreme Court, this conservative Supreme Court that we have now seems to be, quote, all about the states' rights. And so you have Colorado, Maine, not Wisconsin yet, Oregon.
I got to cut you off there, Ross. Stay on the line. If you are on the line, remain there. We're going to take a couple of important messages. We're going to come back to this absolutely central debate for our democracy to succeed. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 844-967-2789.
Sounds good. Forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with
it's like we're ready to make nice, and neither am I, although I do believe in due process. I'm Maggie Dawn. She's Anya Esther. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are discussing today whether Donald Trump should remain on the ballot. Anya has articulated, as have many of our callers, the very commonsensical, hey, I watched what happened on January 6th. I'm not sure what you would call that, but that sure looked like an insurrection to me. And it sure looked like there was one guy that, but for him asking people to do just that, none of it would have happened. I think that position has merit. I, on the other hand, have taken maybe a somewhat technical approach, deeply rooted in my concern over the overall trajectory of our democracy. I'm worried about martyring Donald Trump. I'm worried about violence splintering this country. I'm worried about giving additional credence to claims that it's all just political hoo-ha and they're out to get him. He hasn't been convicted yet. I think it is so important for those cases, the January 6th case, the Mar-a-Lago documents case, so important for those cases to be heard on their merits before the November election. So I plea, and I plead to not only you, but the Supreme Court of these United States to ensure that these matters have their full hearing so that the American public can be availed of all of the facts and the evidence as tested in a court of law. That's the way we do it here. Ross, I had to cut you off because we had to go to some messages. I'll let you finish your thought, my friend. Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And I agree with you, Maggie. I really do. The only thing I was going to say is I think the Supreme Court, they're all about, states' rights. But I think in this case, they're going to override the states because I think this is new ground. This reminds me of when Wisconsin tried to recall Governor Walker. There was all these people who sort of felt like, he had broken all these laws regarding Act 10 and such like this. And so they put this big petition out and they set up a recall election. And there was a bunch of Wisconsinites that were like, I may not like Walker now that I've gotten to know him, but I'm even more upset at the fact that you're not letting him sort of play out, let him finish. You're sort of abrogating my vote. So I kind of agree. I'm afraid that if it was Nikki Haley or DeSantis, and they committed that, I think less of us would be concerned whether or not they were kept on the election or the ballot. But I think in Trump's case, I feel like he's just going to have to stay on it. And we're going to find out how this American democracy experiment plays out.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ross. It scares me. It keeps me up at night, not metaphorically, in a very literal way. And yet, American voters need to vote for democracy. Julie, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
Hi, Maggie. This is Julie. Yes, it's good to be on your show. I'm listening to all your listeners, and they're wonderful tonight, as always. Now, as far as the insurrection, we all know that was insurrection. When I was watching it, that was insurrection, no doubt. No, I have no doubts about it. But I'm with you on one thing also. The fear, when Biden wins, and I believe in my heart he's going to win, what are they going to do then?
Yeah, I think the only way we avoid violence in that circumstance, Julie, is if Donald Trump is on the ballot in all 50 states and we beat him head to head yet again. That's how we give him his "you're done here" marching orders. Mark from the SAC, you're going to be our last caller of the day, my friend. What say you?
Yeah, thanks so much, Maggie. Yes, Donald Trump is an officer under the United States because it's the president is defined under Federalist 69 by Hamilton, that he definitely is an officer of the United States.
Agreed.
And that's also on there. And that he took an oath of office, and Trump has sometimes said, well, I didn't take a promise to support the Constitution. Well, of course, that's what the oath of office is to support the Constitution, even though the language is different. It doesn't say support. It says, you know, protect, you know, the other language is in there. And I think this insurrection has to be linked into also include the 14th Amendment Section 2, where they attempted the fake electors thing was part of the insurrection itself, I would maintain. That Donald Trump is caught on tape with in Michigan there, with talking about the fake electors there in Michigan. So this was orchestrated. The violence that happened on January 6th was part of the plot to overthrow the government, to eliminate the fact that, you know, Donald Trump had ignored the peaceful transfer of power after the election. He did not form a transition team. He never intended to give up the office of president. And that is something that should upset everybody, even people who, you know, the people that support Trump, that the fact that they're still supporting a man who is just a criminal.
Well, he's yet to be convicted. And I think that that is really critically important. I believe that Donald Trump has committed crimes. That's my opinion, both as a moral person and as a lawyer. But he has yet to be convicted, and that must mean something. So too must every word of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. It should all mean something. As I said on the day that the Colorado Supreme Court decision dropped, it must be heard by the Supreme Court. It will be. Oral arguments will be held on February 8th. And here's what I think they are going to do. I have absolutely no doubt that Clarence Thomas will not recuse himself despite his wife's involvement in the insurrection. And the three justices that Donald Trump, again, against most of our norms, because Merrick Garland was deprived of his seat on the court, those three justices plus the other three conservatives will certainly find, I think, procedural infirmities in the Colorado ruling, as well as Maine. I hope that some of the liberal justices join them. And I hope that crossing party lines, there are clear factual findings that a plurality of this court, of this Supreme Court, can say very clearly to the American people that indeed an insurrection was engaged in by former President Donald Trump. That is our best way forward. And then let's go beat him in the ballot box. My name is Maggie Dawn. This has been a wonderfully educational and cooperative endeavor today to discuss what I think will continue to be one of the hottest topics of discussion for 2024. If you want to tell me what you want to hear on this show, you go to civicmedia.us. Check out my show notes. There's going to be a survey link there, and you can control the show, as it were. Thanks to Anya Esther for helping kick off this discussion today. And thanks for all of you. Check on each other. Let's be safe out there. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But we always do better when we stand together. This has been a Tuesday edition of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.